Well, friends, I wonder if you can imagine going to jail because of debt. That sounds odd to us today because none of us have been sent to debtor's prison, but this is exactly what happened to Charles Dickinson's father when he was 12 years old. He went to debtor's prison to work off what he owed. And during this time, Charles had to drop out of school and work a full-time job in a factory that made shoe polish to help support his family. So at 12 years old, he worked 10-hour days, 6 days a week. And it shouldn't be surprising to see the issue of poverty come up in his writing, including his famous story, A Christmas Carol, which we're going to be looking at this morning. Aside from the real Christmas story in the Bible, A Christmas Carol is probably the most famous Christmas story of all time. There have been over 100 adaptations that have been turned into movies, TV shows, plays, ballets, operas, and more. And today we're going to look at some of the clips from these different adaptations. The protagonist in the story, as I'm sure you know, is a man named Ebenezer Scrooge. And Dickens was very intentional about choosing this name for its meaning. In Hebrew, the word Ebenezer means stone of help, and we see it three times in the Bible in the book of 1 Samuel. So after the Israelites defeated the Philistines, Samuel installed a stone of help, an Ebenezer, in the city to remind the people that God had delivered them from their enemies. And every time they saw this stone, they would remember that God saved them in the past and would save them in the future, leading them to give thanks for their freedom. So when parents in biblical times named their child Ebenezer, they hoped that he would be a person who would help others in the name of God and be a visible reminder that God is always there to help us. And this is the first name of the protagonist in our movie. The second name, of course, is Scrooge, and it comes from the old English word screws with a Z. And if you can think of screwing something in with a screwdriver, it meant to put pressure on something, to squeeze, crush, or squash. So when you put these two names together, they create conflict. And this is the conflict that drives the plot of A Christmas Carol, a story of a boy who starts out good, gets off track, and then fortunately finds his way back. And as such, it's a redemption story that ties into the core message of the Christian faith, especially the idea that people can change for the better. Do you believe that? Sometimes we get skeptical and we look at some people and think they'll never change. But part of the good news of the gospel is the hope that with God's help, all things are possible and people are capable of changing. We don't have to get stuck where we are. We can move forward to something better. So I want to get to know Scrooge a little bit by looking at a clip of him in his office through the Muppet adaptation of this story. And I hope that we have sound checked the clips, and we're going to go ahead and check it out now.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle Scrooge. God save you.
Merry Christmas. Bah. Humbug.
Quick, it'll be warmer in there.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Actually, I think it's colder in here.
Merry Christmas, you say. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
He's got him there, the old boy, speechless.
If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be cooked with his own turkey and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Well, not quite speechless.
Oh, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Christmas is a loving, honest, and charitable time. And though it's never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that Christmas has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it. Yes.
And how does one celebrate Christmas on the unemployment line?
So as we can see in this adaptation, Scrooge is a caricature of a selfish, uncaring, narcissistic man who is unkind, greedy, and apathetic. And if we are honest, really honest with ourselves, then we can all see that there's a little bit of Scrooge in us too sometimes. We can all be self-absorbed, irritable, and indifferent to the suffering of other people. And we don't want to be this way, and we certainly don't want other people to see us this way, but nevertheless, it's something that we all struggle with from time to time. And I learned this lesson firsthand in Costa Rica when Emma and I decided to take bicycles from our resort to town in the hottest part of the day. We had our first fight in Costa Rica because we were extremely tired and boiling hot. And so sometimes the conditions can make us turn inward, can make us selfish and irritable and those sorts of things. So the real Christmas story in the Bible, thank goodness, is the beginning of good news because it's about redemption. It's about God sending a Messiah to rescue us from the worst of the human condition. And our movie this morning, A Christmas Carol, is one example among many of the need and also the possibility of human redemption, of change. And it helps us to understand the human condition by telling the story of a Christmas Eve long ago when a man named Ebenezer Scrooge was met by three ghosts. And you know the story. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And their job is to help Scrooge honestly see who he has become over the years for the purpose of repentance, so that he will have, seeing how he's become who he is, so that he will look inside and he will have a change of heart and a change of mind that will lead to a change of behavior that will cause him to turn around and walk in a different direction. It's about a man becoming the person that he was always meant to be, but got off track. So the first ghost meets Scrooge on Christmas Eve and takes him back to the past, again, to help him understand how he ended up where he is. And these scenes remind us of how rejection and loss can either move us closer to God or push us farther away from God. And in the movie, we see how the pain that Scrooge endured pushed him farther away from God. We see how he moves away from being Ebenezer to being Scrooge. In the movie, we see how his father rejects him as a schoolboy. And one of the most painful things that a person can endure is to feel rejected or abandoned by their parents. And we see how this pain is then compounded by the loss of his beloved sister. As he grows up and starts his career, we see how a businessman mentored Ebenezer and taught him that the most important thing in life was money. And as someone who grew up poor, Ebenezer vowed that he would never experience poverty again. So money, career, and ambition became the driving force of his life. Do you know anybody like that? Have you ever been someone like that? And in the midst of all of this, his fiancée, Belle, after putting up with his greed and workaholism for a few years, indicates that they should break up, that they should cancel the marriage. And so I invite you to check out this clip from the 1999 version of A Christmas Carol, where the ghost of Christmas past takes Scrooge back to a conversation with his fiancée, Belle, early in his career.
All your nobler hopes have merged into the one hope of being rich. One master passion engulfs you. Money.
What of it? Even if I've grown wiser, I've not changed towards you, have I?
Our promise to marry is an old one. It was made when we were poor and content to be so until we improved our fortunes. You are changed. When we promised each other, you were another man.
I was a boy.
How often and how keenly I have thought of this, I will not say. But I have thought of it and can release you from your promise.
No, no. Have I ever asked you to release me?
In words? No, never.
How then?
In your changed nature. In everything that made me love you. If this had never been between us, tell me, would you seek me out and try to win me now?
This is a painful scene, isn't it? And when the old Scrooge watches this conversation unfold with the ghost of Christmas past, he screams out, "No, go get her, tell her, bring her back." But as a young man, he couldn't see how he was messing up the possibility of a happy life with a beautiful family. And now, he can't go back and change things. He must live with the pain of regret. And this reminds us of Jesus' warning in the New Testament about the love of money. He says, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." But pain and bad mentoring caused Scrooge to completely lose sight of this, leading to a life of profound loneliness and isolation. This is the story of Scrooge, and the point of taking him back in time is to help him see the light. And what's interesting about the last clip is it reminds us of something that we all know from experience, that change is inevitable. Nothing ever stays the same. All living things, including human beings, are either growing or they're dying. The real important question is not if we're going to change, but how we are going to change. Are we getting closer to God in the midst of all of the change and living more into the vision of the person that God has created us to be, living into a vision of our true self? Or are we moving away from God and living into the corruption of a false and broken self that looks nothing like God's dream for us? As Christians, when we are growing in a positive way, when we're becoming more like Jesus, we call this sanctification, which was a big deal for the founder of the United Methodist Church, John Wesley. This is the process through which the Holy Spirit meets us where we are and gradually helps us to become the person that we were always meant to be, reminding us that we can change and that God is always already with us, giving us what we need to take the next step to become the person that He's created us to be. So if we don't see God's vision for us, if we don't feel God's presence with us, it's not because God doesn't have a vision or because God is absent, but because we have gone to sleep and we can no longer see and hear and feel. But God is always there, luring us forward in love. I didn't preach last Sunday, so this might be a long one. You know, when I get off my notes, it goes long. But this reminds me, my grandfather was an incredible bass fisherman. And before I caught the surfing bug, I used to go fishing with my grandfather, and we would get into a bass boat, and we would troll in the cattails in Central Florida and the phosphate mines that had been drained and filled with bass. And we would use a flipping stick, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, and we would flip in the cattails and catch largemouth bass. And the idea was to throw that lure and jiggle it to get the fish's attention so that it would strike and you could get it into the boat. And that's how God works with us. God throws a lure in front of us like a great fisherman. It's the lure of love and compassion and forgiveness, the promise of change. Jiggles it in front of us until he gets our attention and creates this idea that, well, maybe there's something good in front of me, until he gets us in the boat. And then he cleans us up, but not like we clean fish, right? So the Holy Spirit gradually helps us to become the person that God's always created us to be. It's important to note, though, that God never forces us to grow in positive ways. And sometimes we ignore God's love and we want to do our own thing and we get off track. And it is a real gift to still have time to pause, to get the mile high view and to ask where we are and all the change that is happening in us and around us. And I wonder how you're doing these days. I'm going to give you a few moments just to reflect on that. How are you doing these days? What would other people say about the life that you're living right now? Would your spouse or children, friends or coworkers, would they say that you're becoming more or less patient? More or less flexible? More or less gracious and kind, more or less authentic and open? You know, just like pain can either draw us closer to God or push us farther away, as we get older, we tend to go two routes, right? We can either go the route of the stereotypical grumpy old man. There was even a movie about that, where we become less patient, less flexible, irritable, nasty, demanding, entitled. Is that the way we're going? Or maybe there's someone in your life who went the other way. And maybe that was your grandparents. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was the father or mother of a close friend that you never lost touch with. And those people, they became more magnanimous, more open and authentic, more flexible, more kind, more gracious. And just ask yourself the question, which of those two kinds of people would I like to be around? Some people lose all their friends, and even members of their family push them away and hardly ever call and come around anymore. And they have a tendency to blame those people. Why don't they call? You know, I was with them their whole life and I took care of them, and now they don't ever hardly want to come around anymore. And a lot of times people say that and they never stop to ask one simple question. Am I a pleasant person to be around? How am I changing? What would other people say about you? In the case of Scrooge, even though he was blind to it, everyone could see that he was becoming worse, not better. Thank goodness for Scrooge and also for us. The whole point of the real Christmas story is redemption. Somebody say redemption. Redemption. It's about how God looks down upon the world and sees how far down the scale we have gone and how we are trapped in the death-dealing ways of sin. As we experience brokenness, rejection, and grief, and as we get enslaved to things like selfishness, greed, fear, guilt, anger, and apathy, it breaks God's heart. Some people have a judgmental view of God, and God's sitting up on a throne throwing lightning bolts at people that he's not happy with. That's not the God that I worship. I have a heavenly Father who has compassion, a God who looked down upon the Israelites, and it says that God's heart broke with their suffering. So God sees our suffering and sees our pain, and in love, God responds. In a spirit of love and compassion, God sends his only begotten Son into this world to save us and to give us a way back home so that we can finally become the person that we were always meant to be. Are you awake, church? Man, it feels good to be preaching again. And the Christmas story is the beginning of good news because it is the beginning of this redemption that happens in a little town called Bethlehem. Jesus' Hebrew name is Yeshua, which is translated into Greek as Yeshu. And both means, do you know? God saves. That's literally what Jesus means. God saves. The whole Christian faith from beginning to end is about redemption. It's about God looking upon us and loving us and giving us everything that we need to be transformed, about God changing us for the better. And not only for ourselves, but for all of the people in our family and circles of friends and influence. God makes us better not only for us, but for other people too. This is captured in a Christmas carol that we sing every year. You may recognize it. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Free from our fears, or free us from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. So Christmas, you know, we tend to sentimentalize it, right? And it's about a little baby who's, you know, nice and clean and swaddled in these pure white clothes, and the mother's face is shining, and there's angels around. And all of that is beautiful. But Christmas, really, my friends, is about forgiveness. It's about transformation. It's about the possibility of redemption. The possibility that I can be someone different, that I can change. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is, because I look back on my life in different seasons of my life and I think about the person that I was. You would not have liked me. There were times in Costa Rica you would not have liked me. But we can change. We can change. Christmas is about redemption. And A Christmas Carol reminds us that no one, even the worst Scrooge in the world, is not beyond God's rescue. It's not beyond God's care. If that were the case, we wouldn't go and talk to people in prison. We wouldn't go talk to people who are guilty of the most heinous crimes and try to introduce them to Jesus, because what would be the point? It's about the idea that no one is beyond redemption. This is particularly well illustrated by a recent adaptation of A Christmas Carol featuring Will Ferrell called Spirited. The man in this movie, portrayed as Scrooge, has a file marked irredeemable. You guys seen this movie? It's a whole file, irredeemable, but Ferrell's character helps us to see that this is not true. He says, and I quote, "No one, not even nasty, mean, miserly Scrooge, is beyond redemption." And this includes you, and this includes me. Now we turn to the ghost of Christmas Present, who takes Scrooge around town to the homes of people who know him well so that he can listen in and hear what other people are saying about him. People talked about how he was unwilling to help others, how he wouldn't give to charity or even give people a day off during the holidays. And as he listens into these conversations, he doesn't like what he hears, and something inside him keeps saying, "You need to change. You need to change. You need to change." This scene reminds us that it's helpful to get feedback from other people, which in my opinion is one of the number one things for someone to be a leader. I do a lot of leadership development and coaching, and I always say, if you can't receive feedback, you're not fit to be a leader. And some people are not only incapable of getting feedback at work, they're incapable of getting feedback from their family. they're incapable of getting feedback from their friends, they get too defensive. And those defensive responses signal to people, don't give me feedback. And guess what happens? They stop getting feedback. And if you stop getting feedback, how are you going to see your own blind spots? How are you going to grow? Although it's sometimes hard to hear, if we can drop our defenses and honestly listen to others speak about the impact that we are having on them, the impact of our attitudes, the impact of our actions, we can see blind spots and we can find new motivation to change. We see this particularly when Scrooge is taken to his clerk's house and he sees how poor they are. He sees his clerk's son, Tiny Tim, who is in serious need of medical care, but they don't have the money for life-saving treatment. As Scrooge looks down on this scene and listens to their plight, he feels convicted, guilty, and ashamed. So I invite you to check out this clip from the 1999 animated version of A Christmas Carol, where Jim Carrey is the voice of Ebenezer Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge, the founder of our feast.
Founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I'd hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, you children, it's Christmas time.
A Christmas day, I'm sure. How can one drink the health of such an odious, stingy, odd, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge? You know he is, Robert. Nobody knows it better than you.
My dear, Christmas day.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us. Everyone.
Merry Christmas.
God bless.
Kind spirit. Say Tiny Tim will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
Die? No, spirit. No.
So suddenly, Scrooge is seeing what he's never seen before. Over the years, when people tried to get him to give to charity, he would say, "Are there not debtors' prisons where they can work off their debt?" Pointing out how people would rather die than go to debtor's prison because of the horrible conditions, Scrooge would say, then let them die. But now he sees Tiny Tim and he realizes that he is the source of their poverty because he won't pay a fair wage. He is moved to compassion and is finally getting closer to repentance and change. And in this part of the movie, we see what the real Christmas story is about too. We are reminded that God came to us amid poverty. Jesus was born in a barn around stinky animals because his family was poor and there was no room in the inn. He was born in poverty. He grew up into a man that associated with those in poverty. He was a friend of the poor. And his teaching often addressed the problem of poverty. And he taught us to care for those who were less fortunate. In his very first sermon in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to who? The poor." It's his mission. In his parable of the sheep and the goats, he teaches that we will be judged by God based on how we treat the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and the sick, the vulnerable. As we've already seen, when the angel announces to Mary that she will bear a son named Jesus, she sings, and I quote, "God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Pointing us to the great reversal that Jesus would enact throughout his entire ministry. In A Christmas Carol, Dickens is capturing some of what Jesus says really matters and how we ought to live our lives. So Scrooge is beginning to change, reminding us that we can change too. that God is working in and through all kinds of things to help open our eyes so that we can see our true condition and our daily need for salvation. And when we finally get it and start making changes, we begin to experience more love, more peace, more hope, more joy, and the Holy Spirit, all of the virtues that we celebrate during Advent. This leads finally to the ghost of Christmas Future, who takes him around to hear conversations about someone who died that nobody really cares about, someone that is even despised. Scrooge wonders who they're talking about. Who is this selfish, stingy man that no one will miss? He's eventually taken to a room where a dead man is lying under a sheet, and Scrooge is reluctant to pull it back because he kind of suspects that it's him under that cover. Then the ghost takes him to a cemetery. And I want you to check out this clip from the very first time the story was made into a motion picture. It's a silent film, but I think you'll get the point. So when he finally realizes that people are talking about him, that he is the dead man, Scrooge comes face to face with his own mortality and realizes that because of the way that he lived, no one will care when he's gone. I've done more funerals than I can remember, my friends. I did one recently, and I have a file. And when I open the file, the folder, and I see the list of all of the documents that were used to do the funerals, I'm astonished. Just here in this church. And I've never heard someone give a eulogy and say, you know what was great about this person? He made a lot of money. Never once have I heard that. Or this lady was so special because she spent her entire life at the office, climbing the corporate ladder until she became president. Never heard it. Rather, they talk about acts of kindness or how generous the person was, how they care about others or were willing to make personal sacrifices to help their family and their friends. When Scrooge confronts his own mortality, he asks the same kinds of questions that we do. How will people remember me? What difference will my life have made? What kind of legacy will I leave behind? Will people care when I'm gone? Will there be anyone at my funeral? When I think about a life worth living, I think about Jesus. And I believe that to my core, my friends. I know that I'm your pastor and I'm supposed to say that, but when I think about a life worth living, I think about Jesus. I think that Jesus provides us what we need to have a life worth living, a life of peace, love, and joy. Believe it to my core. And Christmas is not just about his birth, but the beginning of his whole life, which is built around helping people. He fed the multitudes, befriended tax collectors and prostitutes, elevated women, and included the outcast and the marginalized. He embraced the people that everybody else judged, rejected, and abandoned. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas, but we also celebrate his life of service to others, including the way that he laid down his life for you and for me to make all of this redemption possible. So we also celebrate his death. We also celebrate his resurrection, which reminds us that love is stronger than hate and life is more powerful than death. And we can't be reminded of that enough, that the worst thing... Are you awake, church? That the worst thing is never the last thing. You can take it to the bank. At the end of our movie, Ebenezer Scrooge has a change of heart. He saw the pain he inflicted on himself and others by making money the most important thing, and then he stared death in the face. And all of this made him realize that something had to change. So he cries out to the ghost of Christmas past, "I promise, I have changed. I will be a different person this day forward. Please save me." Pointing to the importance of not only realizing our true condition and need for God's grace, but a time in our life when we very intentionally make a decision to follow Jesus, to not expect to come to church and be magically transformed, or to hang out with a couple of Christian people and be magically transformed, but to be led to a decision to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, and to begin a journey with him in which that redemption can be enacted and we can be changed. Have we done that? Do we need to do it again? Please save me. Lord, save me from myself. On Christmas Day, Scrooge truly repented. The word repent in Greek, as you probably know, is metanoia, which means to change your mind and think differently. And this leads to a change of heart and a change of behavior. This is the way that a man who strayed away from the path came home. How a man went from Scrooge, the one who crushes and squashes other people, to Ebenezer, one who helps. Sometimes we refer to this kind of transformative experience in the church as being born again. And I still think it's a great metaphor. We must be born again. And Scrooge was born again that day. Everything began to change with that single important decision. Save me. I want to follow Jesus. This, my friends, is a wonderful opportunity for us to ask ourselves, what needs to change in my life? And if you leave this sanctuary this morning without reflecting on that question, you are doing yourself an incredible disservice. It's a gift. What needs to change in me? We can ask, have I ever truly repented of the ways that I failed myself, God, and others, the way that I have missed the mark? Do I like the person that I've become? Or do I need to rediscover my true self and become something different, something better? You're breathing, which means there's still time. Do I like the road that I'm on? Or do I need to change course? From that day forward, Ebenezer took great joy in being a caring, generous person, and he celebrated Christmas all year long, which is captured in a clip from the Muppet adaptation, again, of A Christmas Carol. Check it out.
A gift for me? Thank you. Thank you.
50 times, and a Merry Christmas.
Here's your turkey, Mr. Scrooge.
Follow me, lad.
With a thankful heart, with an endless joy, with a growing family, every girl and boy will be nephew and niece to me.
Nephew and niece to me.
Will bring love, hope, and peace to me.
Love, hope, and peace to me.
Yes, and every night will end, and every day will start with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart.
Ebenezer rediscovers joy again, and he sings. We sing as an expression of joy. The one who is bitter and greedy is now joyful and generous. And this is what happens to all of us when the light of Christ breaks through the darkness of our hearts and brings redemption. This is the hope of the Christmas story. It is a gift from God that gives us joy and restores our hope. As I mentioned earlier, we all have a little bit of Scrooge inside of us, but we also all have a little bit of Ebenezer inside of us as well. And the question is, which will you be? The stone of help or the one who crushes others? I think that almost everyone wants to be the stone of help. Amen? So this Christmas, my hope is that you will say yes to Jesus. say yes to his love and grace and mercy, and to be a stone of help to someone else. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for everything. During the Christmas season, we are mindful of all the blessings that you have lavished upon us. Thank you especially for your love and grace and for coming to help us in Jesus. Transform our hearts and make us the people that you want us to be. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey everyone, it's Pastor Marg, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank First United Methodist Church of Cocoa Beach, which helped make this ministry possible. If you would like to make a donation to the church, go to our church website, fumccb.com. Also, if you're in town, I hope that you will visit one of our services in person so that we'll have an opportunity to meet. May God bless you as you find your next steps in following Jesus.